Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with Him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. Apparently, the Old Testament has nothing to do with the church. After all, the church didn't even come into being until the book of Acts. Actually, however, the history of Israel recorded in the Old Testament is a picture of the church and the church life. If we have this view, this understanding, we'll see that the divine revelation in the Old Testament books such as Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, give us a picture and a full type of the church in the mystical union with the all-inclusive Christ. Francis Ball has joined us for our final life study from the book of Numbers. Francis, it's been a tremendous journey that I have just delighted in, and I'm happy that you could join us for this last one.
I am so happy to be here, but particularly to see again how this whole portion of the Old Testament books really has a picture for us of the church life today. And this is another proof that the Bible is so consistent, both in the pictures of the Old Testament and in the reality and the plain speaking of the New Testament.
It takes both, doesn't it, to really see. I think it was one of the messages when he was talking about the churches. We see it in the book of Numbers and comparing that with the view in Ephesians, which is really the highest view, the highest presentation of the church in the whole Bible is in Ephesians. But yet the pictures that came through in Numbers provided a lot more detail than even we get in a book like Ephesians.
It's much like a child being taught with pictures. You may say the sentence, but if you don't show them a picture, if you're talking about a dog, but they don't understand D-O-G,
right.
But they know a dog when they see the picture.
Right.
So we have a lot of pictures in the Old Testament, which are really pictures of what we experience in the New Testament.
Well, today, as I think we'll see in this sort of summary speaking, at the end of this life study of Numbers, he gave what he called a vital sketch and included the other Old Testament books that are similar to Numbers. Of course, we've already had our life study of Exodus and Leviticus. These books go together. The pictures that are formed here are tremendous, and they do really show us something about the church and our church life experience that's really marvelous. When we began, Francis, this life study of Numbers, we opened by saying that the main reason behind the numbering of the people was to form them into an army. And now here we are, 40 years later, God has renumbered them. This time the next generation, the first generation, had all died in the wilderness save Joshua and Caleb. And he has renumbered them and reformed them into an army again. But this army is much different than the one we saw some 40 years previous, isn't it?
It certainly is a different army, because there they didn't even know where they were going or what they were doing. But that army around Mount Sinai was really kind of an army of Israelites coming out of Egypt and starting out on their journey through the wilderness. But that army was not perfected adequately to make the full journey. And we saw a lot of things happen in their journey along the way that are really examples of our own experiences in the church life. But we surely like to see in this army that's being part of the renumbering that we'll see today is something far, far higher than what we had in Mount Sinai.
As you said, that was an army that had just come out of Egypt and was about to face 40 years in the wilderness with all kinds of trials and experiences before them. This army now is really preparing, or has been prepared, to take possession of the good land.
That's right.
A much different task before them. And as we'll see in this first portion, what God is looking for is not just an army of willing soldiers. He's looking for an army of priests.
Right.
How about we go to Witness Lee?
This is a vital sketch of the divine revelation in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers concerning God's economy with his chosen and redeemed people. There is a need of God's chosen redeemed people to be formed into a priestly army to carry out the holy war. Before Sinai, the children of God were considered also as army, but not that much as a priestly army to carry out the holy war. You look at the array at the foothill of Mount Sinai, you could see the entire people of over 2 million formed into just one body to journey with God. This is very good. The presence of God was there all the time, signified by the cloud in the day and by the fire in the night. This indicates that while they were journeying in the wilderness, God was journeying with them. Rather, I would say, they were journeying with God. It was God that was journeying there. God took the lead. How about this? You must remember that was a type of our life today. We are actually moving, working, living together with a processed and dispensing triune God. Quite often, we heard Christians saying, oh, Christian life is wonderful. But in typology, Christian life is a wilderness. Within this wilderness, all kinds of trials, sufferings. Meantime, we also enjoy the divine care, also the divine supplies, and also the divine spankings. Right? Sometimes God cares, supplies us, also spanks us. As long as you have the presence of the mother, of the father, it's hard to avoid their spanking because we are naughty, still naughty. Now, to fight together with God, you have to work and live together with God. You have to pass through all kinds of things. Then you are qualified to fight together with God, not only with God, but also for God. Actually, fairly speaking, I tell you that that whole journey was the triune God journey on this earth. This is his journey. Don't you think so?
Francis, I'd like to talk about the point he made regarding their journey through the wilderness really matches our journey on the Christian life, but this journey is not our journey. It's God's journey, isn't it?
It's really marvelous to see this picture because it means that God is moving, and in his move, he's moving in his people. One of the books that Brother Lee put out was God's Move in Man, and this really shows us a picture of that because here God is moving. And the fact that he's moving with the people is illustrated by the fact that there's a cloud for them to be guided by in the daytime and a fire over the tabernacle to guide them in the nighttime. So it's God moving, and these people are moving with him. And their moving through here has a lot of lessons that are very, very similar to the experiences we have now in moving with God in this day. The leader of that move was the angel of Jehovah, which is really a type of Christ.
Right.
And in our moving today, it's still the angel of Jehovah who is Christ himself in reality. So we have a lot of experiences that are brought out here that are quite marvelous. It's just amazing to me how consistent the Bible is in bringing all these things together, both in picture form in the Old Testament and in the actual teaching of the New Testament with the reality. So we have a marvelous journey here for us that we're still in.
Yes, yeah, so we'd like to think that God is going with us on our journey, but if our mind is adjusted, if our understanding is renewed a little bit, we realize this is His journey that we're following Him on. And all of these various things that the children of Israel experienced that match our own experiences, as we've seen over these weeks, are really things that He has ordained, that He has brought into our sphere of experience to have this work of constituting us priests. And that is really the essence of, I think, our message here today, our final message in the life study of Numbers, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Because God doesn't want just an army of any kind. It's not a ragtag army.
Right.
But it's a well-prepared army that have been constituted with all the experiences that they have along the way for these 40 years and really being one with God Himself. The triune God is moving in them. So this is what we experience today. Our triune God is the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit who now indwells us, and He's taking us through all these days through this dreadful wilderness.
Well, in this coming portion, to accomplish this transforming the army into an army of priests, the children of Israel experienced many, many frustrations, and particularly the leader among them, Moses, we saw again and again experiencing frustrations, and the Lord used all of them. We're going to focus in on that a little bit in this next section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Do you believe that we need frustrations? Whether you feel so or not, the fact is so. There is such a fact. One thing that bothers me when I was young, very much, I couldn't understand why here and there, then and now, always among God's pure people, there is a mixture. There is a mixed multitude. This mixed multitude are just like leaven. To leaven God's people as the whole lump. This is kind of frustration. And this happened in Numbers chapter 11. Frustrations. Well, frustrations damages, but as far as I am concerned, frustration has perfected me. To some extent, in some sense, we need frustrations. Well, another frustration to Moses. Could you believe? Moses suffered a kind of frustration of his sister, Miriam. Who can imagine that the elder sister Moses would rebel against Moses? You know, right after the crossing of the Red Sea, right? Israel began to praise God. And Miriam was the leader of the singing. She took the lead of all the sisters to praise God. It was wonderful. But now why even she became rival to Moses? Being jealous of Moses' position in the oracle? Miriam said, "Does God only speak to you, Moses? Not through others, that means not through me." One after another, frustrations came. After Miriam's rebellion, Moses had to face the unbelief of Israel. After the 12 spies came back from their spying of the Golan, all the Israelites rebelled. "We don't have to go into the Golan. Will be their food. Their people are just giants." So by this frustration, a big purging, purification transpired among them. So they got purified. Could you see? These kind of frustrations, according to our negative situation and condition, are needed. This is needed to humble the children of Israel. We have to realize all the frustrations are used by God to humble us and to test us. Don't forget, we are still in that great and terrible wilderness.
Well, we had a good review there of some of the sufferings, particularly that befell Moses on this long journey, Francis. You know, if we read the Bible carefully, we realize even before the children of Israel began, Moses was a person with a lot of natural capacity, even a natural inclination to lead. But as the story unveils here, it's quite obvious that God doesn't place that much value on our natural capacity to do things, even to lead his people, does he?
That's right. It's not dependent on that. It's depending on how much of God himself can be worked into a person. And the biggest problem that Moses faced, and I would say also that's been faced by leaders of the Lord's people throughout the ages, is people who rebel against that person,
right?
Because they have the ambition, but they don't have the capacity. Moses was a man with tremendous capacity, and we saw how he was trained in Egypt and all the education of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and yet how he was a person who was really called by God to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. But this is a picture of what happens if we are going to be constituted with God, and if we're going to move with God, we can expect these kind of frustrations to perfect us. Because as Brother Lee mentioned, we are naughty and we need some discipline. As he put it, we need the spankings. So the closer we stay to God, the more we stay with him, and the more we travel with him, the more we realize that we need that kind of discipline and that kind of training to constitute us and make us able to enter into the good land, to enjoy all the riches that are there.
Well, I think that it's one thing to look at the frustrations and the training that God puts those through who lead his people, Francis, but that's not the point we want to end on today. As we wrap up this entire life study, the message is not just about Moses and those ones that God has selected for that particular task of leadership. Really, he needs the nation to become this right. army of priests, and that means all of us. All of us have this portion before us. If we are really serious and mean business with the Lord to take possession of our good land, which as we've seen is just this all-inclusive Christ, there is a fight yet before us, isn't there?
There certainly is a fight yet before us, and one that's somewhat a little bit behind us. We learn all these lessons by these kind of experiences and these kind of frustrations that we go through. Without this, the Lord could never perfect us to be the proper people to enter into the good land and take it and displace all the occupants of that land.
All right, let's go to Witness Lee for our final section from the Life Study of Numbers.
It's quite interesting to consider that we all are people journeying with God. Sometimes we quarrel with him. Sometimes we made him unhappy. Sometimes we even became mad with him. And we told him, I don't want you. I quit. Didn't you? Sometimes outwardly you didn't quit. Inwardly you quit already. Right? I do know some of the stories. The wives, they got mad. They said, Christ, I will forget you. That's it. That's it. That's it. But deep within you, someone says, that's it not. So you quit, he wouldn't. Eventually, maybe after 5 years, you still come back, right? You didn't get away from him. We are journeying with him. While we are journeying with him, we are suffering frustration. Because we need it. We need frustration. Perry, you know, all the children, you don't need to teach them to say no. They say no. Whatever you say, the child didn't understand what you talk about. He would say no. I must tell you, I didn't hear any yeses from my children all the time. No. No. Go to sleep. No. Study well. No. Get a good grade. No. No. Frustrations. So many no's, they just purified us. All the time circumstances came up and so forth. Then eventually, I always say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you for this child. I need you for that child. I need you for the elders. I need you for the sisters. I need you for the ones who are so close with me. I need you. What doesn't mean I need you? That means I enjoy you. I enjoyed all-inclusive Christ. He is, hallelujah, the very embodiment of the process and dispensing triune God. Here you are in the good.
Francis, listening to this portion, a couple of two-word phrases jumped out at me here on opposite ends of our own experience. One of them is, I quit, and the other is, I need you.
Yeah, right. That's right.
What happens to get us from the I quit to the I need you?
Well, I think the thing that's illustrated here is the fact that these frustrations come in to perfect us and to purify us. And these kind of experiences, are when you're going through them, they just devastate you and feel like, well, I could make it, I could never make it, so I just quit. But even I've known several who have quit along the way, but as Brother Lee said, after 5 years, they come back.
Right.
Because the one inside of us will not quit. He won't quit perfecting us. He really wants an army of priests that can go in and take the good land. And this is a fight that only God can supply for and prepare us for. But he's preparing a nation to make us priests. When we talk about being priests, we're not talking about getting a theological degree.
Right.
We're talking about getting infused by Christ in our inner being to change our whole being to be the same as God is in life and in nature, so that we could be an expression of him and we could be his army that could enter into the good land. The first generation of these people that came out of Egypt didn't make it. But God has perfected some people now through all these experiences so that they could be the priests. A priest is simply one who lives in the presence of God.
Right.
So that's what he's after, a company of people that live as priests and fight the battle as priests because they are living in God's presence all the time.
Say just a bit more. This matter touched me that you brought up right here at the conclusion. The first generation all died off. They didn't make it into the good land, but yet all of those experiences that they went through and passed through, all of those lessons learned were not wasted, were they?
No, that's right. And if you'll, I'd like to remind all our listeners to write in for this life study of Numbers, because there are some things here so very, very helpful. The main thing is that God's economy is the guideline to take us through all of these studies so that we see where God is going. He's going to get a group of people that he's constituted himself into. And to do that, he has to take them through a lot of experiences. And the first generation has gone through those experiences, but the second generation benefits from all of those experiences, so they are equipped and ready in this renumbering to go in and take the good land, to defeat all the enemy nations that are in that good land and to possess it and set it up for God's rule and reign. So even in our Christian life here, whatever experiences we go through now should be a real benefit for the next generation, for them to enter into the full enjoyment of Christ in a more all-inclusive way than we did.
Mm. Well, Francis, that wraps up the life study of Numbers. I have enjoyed this journey together with you and the other brothers that have participated tremendously, and will cherish it all of my days. And I appreciate all of the times that you and I have been together in this life study.
Well, I've enjoyed it very much too, Chris. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Francis, you mentioned the printed life study messages. I would just point out there are two volumes, 53 messages in all. We condensed quite a bit going through this time. We have 32 radio programs covering these 53 printed messages. So this is a very, very solid resource for you, and we would highly recommend it. If you'll contact us at our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Oh,
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.